We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on today's episode, I will be reviewing The Office. What else is there to say about The Office that everyone else hasn't already said? Probably nothing, but I love the show. It's my third favorite show currently of all time, right behind Better Call Saul and Breaking Bad. So, and also the finale, the series finale aired 10 years ago this Tuesday. So I know I was going to record this episode and post it Tuesday, but you know, it came back from work. I was just tired and, you know, wanted to watch some TV. So I just decided to post this, you know, do this episode and my review of 10 Things I Hate About You and post both of them today. So you guys will be getting this episode and that episode back to back today. But yeah, I love The Office. It's my third favorite show. Can't wait to talk about it. So I remember when I first started watching the show, it was in I want to say it was like June or July of 2018. My stepbrother introduced me to the show because he really loves the show. And he's like, hey, have you ever seen The Office? And I never had before. I had never watched an episode. I may have seen it on TV, like when I was flipping through channels, but I never actually sat down and watched a full episode before. And so, you know, I decided to start watching it back when it was still on Netflix, because now it's not. You know, it's been over 2 years and since, you know, it was taken off Netflix. But at the time I started watching it, the entirety of the show was on Netflix. So I binged it in about 2 months, and I finished it. Again, I think it was June, it may have been July, but I binged the entire 9 seasons within a month, between a month and 2 months. So I was dedicated as shit to finishing the show. And yeah, I loved watching it. It's funny, I kind of want to, part of me, like, not just with The Office, but with a lot of shows that I consider my favorites, I really want to go back, like, erase my mind of the shows, so that way I can go back and watch them through for the first time again. You know, like, part of me would really love to do that with some shows, like Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, this, Game of Thrones, you know, and a bunch more shows. But yeah, it was great watching it all the way through for the first time, because I don't know, it's just, it was kind of, you know, you could say that this show was like the beginning of the, well, I mean, not the first show to do this, but it was one of the most popular examples of shows to use the like documentary film crew style of filming, you know, because like there will be some slight spoilers here if you haven't seen the show. And if you haven't seen the show, if you haven't seen the show, proceed with caution on this review. But if you have and you want to hear my thoughts, continue. And if you haven't and still want to hear my thoughts, then, you know, please proceed. But yeah, for those of you who may or may not know what The Office is about, you know, it's, I'm surprised, you know, where have you been for the last almost 20 years, because it's, you know, it premiered in 2005, so it's been around for almost 20 years at this point. But yeah, the show is about a documentary film crew coming to film the employees, the boss and the employees of this paper company in Scranton, Pennsylvania, under the name Dunder Mifflin. So the company is Dunder Mifflin, and they are the Scranton branch in Pennsylvania. And of course, we see other branches throughout the show, and we go and visit the other branches, like the New York branch, which is like corporate. We visit the Utica branch. We go there a couple times. They mention some of the other branches, but for the most part, we mostly stay in the Scranton branch. Like, that's where like 95% of the I mean, that's where most of the show takes place, is in this office. I mean, of course, in the episodes, they leave the office. Like, we see, like, the camera crew follows them, like, on, you know, business trips and stuff like that, meetings. You know, anytime Michael goes to corporate, he, you know, they, the camera crew follows them, or follows him. But yeah, the, you know, it's pretty much just them tracking the lives, the work lives, and some of the personal lives of the employees that work at this paper company. And, you know, very diverse, very unique and odd group of characters that are kind of forced to stay with each other, forced to, you know, be around each other for 9 hours a day. And at the center of this branch, you have Michael Scott, who is their boss. He's the manager of this branch, and oftentimes he is the, he's just, you know, the hindrance of everyone in the office, because I feel like if he wasn't a manager, everyone would get a lot more work done, because every time he, I mean, they could just be having a normal day, and then Michael just come in and like, you know, get in their faces about any romantic problems he might have, or like, you know, asking them, oh, hey, we're having our annual award show tonight, the Dundies, you know, like, what are the appetizers you guys want, you know? And because the camera crew is new, like, they've never had a camera crew there before. So, like, towards the beginning of the show, like, in the first episode of season two, I believe it was the first episode of season two, if I'm not mistaken, let me check. Yes, it was the first episode of season two, being the Dundies. That's essentially their award show. Michael has this annual award show that he hosts every year, pays for out of his own pocket, and essentially he just gives everyone in the office awards for mostly for pointless shit. I mean, every now and then he'll give them like a legit award for like maybe best employee or something. But mostly it's just for pointless shit, like smelliest bowel movement, or you know, or like hottest person in the office, or widest shoes, a person who wears the widest shoes, you know, meaningless nonsense like that, you know. But he loves doing it, and you know, it's stuff like that. Like, he'll just interrupt, like, everyone will be doing what they're supposed to do, their jobs, and then he'll just come in being Michael, and he'll either be having a bad day and want to talk to everyone about it, or, you know, he'll want everyone's input on the Dundies, or, you know, what everyone thinks of the, you know, he'll be upset that the company is undergoing sexual harassment training. So he'll be like, well, we can't tell jokes anymore. What's this about? You know? And there's just a bunch of great episodes of the show, and the show's great. I mean, if you haven't watched it, you're doing yourself a disservice by not watching it. I highly recommend it, and it's just hilarious. Even the seasons that, even the last two seasons, when Michael leaves the show, I still think are really good. I know a lot of people are like, oh, the show went downhill majorly when Steve Carell left, and I don't really think that's true. I might feel differently about him leaving the show had I been watching it yearly. Like, I mean, had I been watching it from, or weekly, had I been watching it from the beginning until, you know, right when he left, and, you know, the last two seasons, you know, if I had watched it as it was airing, I may feel differently. But as someone who binged the show in like a month or two, I feel like it wasn't really that big a deal. You know what I mean? Or it didn't feel like, oh, you know, this is, the show is not as funny as it used to be. Now, of course, excuse me. Now, of course, Michael was a big part of the show, and he was like the main character, but everyone in the office brought their own sense of humor to the show, whether they were intentionally funny or not. I mean, like, or like whether they intentionally told jokes and were like, you know, the class clowns of the office, you know. Because, you know, some of the characters like Stanley and Angela weren't really joke tellers. Like, they were kind of sticks in the mud. But that they had some funny moments, mostly from their reactions to all the idiots in the office, you know, like Michael and Dwight and Kevin, you know. So it's like, which you know, inherently, like in turn, made them funny. But, you know, you need, in any show, but especially in sitcoms and especially in comedies and in movies too, you need the stick in the mud to play off of the comedic relief. Otherwise, the comedic relief just goes running around like a chicken with his head cut off, just constantly spewing jokes with no one to play off of, you know? So, you know, like everyone on the show played a huge part in making the show what it was. And you know, I feel like they all did a great job when Michael was there and when he left. And obviously when Michael left, some other characters got even more screen time and more to do with the plot, because, you know, there was an absence when Michael left. And, you know, like Dwight and, you know, Ryan got a little bit more to do, you know, and some of the other characters in the office. And the show, you know, I forgot to mention, yeah, it premiered on NBC back in 2005. It was March 24th of 2005. And when the show premiered, it was like a mid-season type deal, which if you don't know what a mid-season is of a show, it's essentially just like a half season, or maybe even like a quarter of a season. But it's essentially when networks are like testing out a show and they're not quite sure if it'll be as big of a hit or not, or if they don't have enough episodes for a full, you know, season from like September to May, you know, they'll just have the show air in the spring, you know, like in March or February or something, you know, they'll have it air then. And then, you know, if the show does well, they'll pick it up for a full season and it'll premiere, which will premiere that following September or the, you know, the next few months. So that's what they did for The Office. And of course, the first season, believe it or not, which I know it'll be hard for you to believe considering that the show is so popular now and it got popular over time, but the first season didn't do so hot, didn't do so well. And then, of course, but thanks to iTunes, because, you know, people were, you know, buying the show on iTunes, you know, around season two, it picked up a little bit. I mean, they still greenlit it for a second season. It did well enough for that. But, you know, when people were buying season one on iTunes and the episodes of season two that had already aired on iTunes, the show got, you know, started to gain more momentum. It started to gain more popularity. And, you know, at that point, it took maybe a year or, you know, several months to a year. But, you know, it finally caught on in popularity. And you know, it went on for, you know, 8 more seasons. And, yeah, it ended, like I said, this past Tuesday, or this Tuesday was May 16th. So it ended on May 16th, 2013. And they had 201 episodes over 9 seasons. So, you know, I mean, just because something might not do so hot at the beginning doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to reign true for the rest of its run. You know, like, wait, just give it a chance and wait to see, you know, if something gains momentum, you know, and it most likely will, which, you know, and this show definitely gained momentum. I mean, you know, people still talk about the show. I still see so many memes and clips of the show posted on social media and on YouTube. I mean, The Office's YouTube channel is still doing phenomenally well. Reruns are still on TV all the time. It's on Peacock, you know, NBC's streaming service. You know, there's a shit ton of merchandise. I mean, hell, I've got like 2 Office t-shirts, a Dunder Mifflin fridge magnet. I've got a Lego Office set that I got when I was Christmas shopping a few months back, or like, well, I guess 5 months at this point. And I've got a Dwight bobblehead. So I've got like at least 4 different Office merchandise, things of merchandise in my room as we speak, or as I speak. So, you know, like, it's done phenomenally well when it was airing, and still to this day, 10 years later, like, it's still you know, one of the most popular, most trending shows, I guess, of all time, really. And yeah, it's just crazy that a show, because you'd think it wouldn't, you'd think based on the premise, it wouldn't do as well. But again, that just goes to show, never judge a book by its cover, you know. But the fact that it's like, okay, like imagine pitching the show. And obviously this is based on the British version of the show, because before, you know, a lot of people, well, I feel like a lot of people know this, but a lot of people, some people might not be aware, but the show originally was a British show, and it only ran for like 2 seasons, and they had like one Christmas special that was like the finale, and it was a British series originally at first, and then the British series starred Ricky Gervais as David Brent. He was the Michael Scott to the British office. You know, he was the boss in that show. And then I want to say, when did that premiere? The British office was... okay. It premiered on July 9th, 2001, and it ran from then until December 27th, 2003. And it had 14 episodes and 2 seasons. So yeah, if there's one thing about British series that you know, is true, is that they run short. You know, they waste no time, and they end on their own terms, and they end with a few seasons and a good handful of episodes, but they never overstay their welcome typically. And yeah, and you know, when The Office premiered, it didn't do so well, but then it picked up in popularity, and it was just crazy though that it's still this popular today. And because like the you know, when you pitch the show to a network, it's like, okay, well, this is our take on this British sitcom, and the show is basically about the employees, camera crew coming to film the work lives and personal lives of the employees that work at a paper company in Pennsylvania. Like, it's like, okay, and you think this will work? You think this will go on to be a ratings juggernaut, you know? And of course, you can never really predict, you can never really say for certain whether something is going to be a success. You know, I mean, all you can do is really hope that, you know, whatever show you're pitching or book or movie, or really, I mean, whether you're pitching it or not, even if whatever show you're watching or movie you're watching, all you can hope, or book you're reading, you know, all you can hope is that whether you're pitching, you know, the one pitching the show or the one watching the show, the only thing you can hope for is that it does well enough to continue. You know, hopefully it won't get canceled before it you know, you see its full potential. You know, you get to see it to the end, the creator's full potential as to, you know, what the show can become, you know. And unfortunately, a lot of shows do get canceled in their prime or before they can, you know, like in their first season, before like they can really, you know, take off. But thankfully, The Office was not one of those shows. And the show, I do love the, you know, there's a lot of things to love about the show. Like, the show is, not only is it hilarious, without really having to have a laugh track, which would kind of detract from the show because of the way it's filmed. But yeah, but on top of it being hilarious, it's also got a bunch of great characters that you love and want to see, you know, make it in their lives. And you know, in characters you can relate to. Because whether or not you yourself have a desk job, a job in a cubicle, you know, you can sort of relate to having to deal with, you know, maybe some shitty coworkers, or maybe just having those days where you might not want to really deal with anyone's shit, but you know, they're kind of just being annoying, you know, and like just making a big stink about something. And you know, and then, you know, there are days where you're like, okay, well, I'm glad they're around, because they're actually cool, you know, when they want to be. And there's several moments in the show where, you know, everyone gets on each other's nerves throughout the show, but then you have these sweet, heartfelt moments where everyone's just like, you know that, well, maybe not everyone all at once, but like, you know, whether it's like helping Michael grieve his former boss's death by celebrating the funeral of a bird that flew into the window downstairs, like flew into the door. It's like, it's stupid, but it meant something to Michael. And so, you know, they realize that and they're like, okay, well, this is stupid, but, you know, Michael's nice to us. You know, let's do it for him, you know. And, or when, you know, going back to the Dundies, and in the Dundies episode, when Michael was getting heckled for singing Tiny Dancer, putting his own spin, his own unique spin on the song Tiny Dancer by Elton John, he was feeling discouraged. So Pam, being the sweet, nice person she is, was like, she got up, got the mic and said, hey, look, everyone, let's continue the show. You know, let's continue the award show. Let's give a big hand to Michael, because this isn't as easy as it looks. And, you know, that just made Michael's day. And, you know, it's just, the characters are great. I'll go back to the characters in a minute. But yeah, the way the show's filmed, too, let me go to this real quick. The way the show's filmed, too, is cool as well, because the show, they set that up in the first episode of the show, is that there's a camera crew here to film the, you know, employees at Dunder Mifflin for an upcoming documentary. And of course, towards the end of the show, we get the end of that story. I mean, you know, we get to see, we actually get to see the camera crew in season 9. We get to see their faces and like hear them talk. And at first it might be a little jarring because you're like, you're so used to just seeing it from their point of view, you know, because they're always there filming everyone. I mean, not all the time. They're not everywhere all at once, but you know, that like they're filming the characters, you know, in all the episodes, in every episode. So it's like, it's odd when we first get to see them in season 9 and hear them speak. It's like, oh, we never have done that. And that, you know, when you get to that moment, it's like, oh yeah, this show is coming to an end. Like when you get to that moment, it's like, oh, we're getting closer to the end. This is something we've never seen before. You know, they saved this for the last season. And of course the documentary, you know, we get to that, and that's a huge plot point of the in the final season. But yeah, but the way the show's filmed, it's cool that it's a single camera setup, and it's, you know, basically simulating the look of an actual documentary. Because, you know, it's like, that's what the camera crew's there to do. But, you know, it's cool because, like, a lot of sitcoms are just have the multi-camera setup and, you know, the camera's focused and stationary and there's a laugh track and, you know, the characters in the show, there's no camera filming them. They're not aware of a camera filming them. So it's just cool to have a sitcom that, you know, has a camera crew filming them and they're aware of it in the show. Like there's a camera crew filming them in the show's universe and they're aware of themselves being filmed, and the fact that, yeah, the movements are like as if someone was actually filming them, you know, like with a handheld camera, which is cool. You know, like anytime Michael runs through the hallways, you know, you have the camera kind of bobbing up and down with him because the guy, you know, the cameraman's running with him. Anytime, like, there's a character or a couple characters conversing in private, you know, you'll have one of the camera crew zoom in. You know, you kind of get, like, a fuzzy little zoom in with the lens, and then, you get the adjustment of the lens, and you get to see, you know, it's like, oh, it becomes clearer now, you know. And it's just, like, little, you know, tricks like that, little things like that that really add to the feel of, oh, yeah, this is, like, these people are here filming a documentary. It makes it feel more authentic, you know. It makes it feel like, oh, this is actually a real documentary that's going to come out. And of course it wasn't a real documentary because it's within the show it was, but not in real life, you know. But when you're watching it, it kind of gives you that feeling. So I appreciate that a lot. And of course, you know, that style of filming, you know, transferred to a lot of shows in the future. You know, Parks and Rec, which a lot of people, you know, say is like, oh, it's like a companion piece to The Office, which the guy, he didn't create the show, but Michael Schur, I want to say he created the, or he co-created, yes, Michael Schur and Greg Daniels, the guy. Okay, no, yeah, the guy who created the show or created the British or the the guy who created the American version of The Office, Greg Daniels, co-created Parks and Rec with one of the writers of The Office, Michael Schur, who also plays Dwight's cousin Moe's in this show. And he does a great job with Moe's. Anytime him and Dwight have a scene, it's hilarious. Just because Moe's is so crazy and unpredictable. But yeah, so it's cool, you know, like that Parks and Rec's often seen as a companion piece to The Office, because it started a few years after The Office had gained momentum. And, you know, it was a cornerstone of, like, NBC's, I want to say it was, like, their Thursday night lineup. I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was, like, Thursday nights. But, yeah, those two shows, you know, were huge at the time. And, you know, and then we had, of course, we got Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I think The Good Place was filmed that way, too. You know, and what's interesting, too, is that unlike The Office, those shows aren't really... they don't set it up in the shows that there's a camera crew filming them for a documentary, you know, because I feel like if they did that for every show, it would kind of get stale, you know, it'd feel like, oh, well, you already did this with The Office, but they have that similar style of filming the shows, whether that's an actual plot point in the shows or not, you know, it doesn't need to be, you know, because it's just like, oh, this is a unique way of filming the show. Let's, you know, transfer this over. Let's transfer this style of filming over to this sitcom, you know. And of course, you know, same with The Office. Not only the style of filming, but the fact that there's no laugh track in Parks and Rec. Excuse me, sorry, Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I choked on air for a second. I don't know why. Anyway, but the fact that Parks and Rec, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Good Place, none of them have laugh tracks either. You know, that they were all kind of influenced from The Office, like, you know, and, you know, the fact that it was, you know, such an influence on modern sitcoms today is crazy. Oh, also, I think, which I haven't seen the show, but I've seen clips. I'm pretty sure It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia started around the time The Office premiered or after. So it was kind of influenced. You could say It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia was kind of influenced by The Office, too. I've heard that show was good, too. It looks funny. Like, it's got Charlie Day, Danny DeVito. The clips I've seen of it are really funny. But I just... I may watch it eventually. It's just... It's still going on, though. Like, it's, like, in its 16th season is about to premiere, so... It's, like, that's a lot of seasons to catch up on. But, of course, I binged-watched the entirety of The Simpsons and the movie... to the current season they're in now. So I guess, you know, what's 16 seasons worth of something? That's nothing when you've watched 30 twice as many seasons of a show as Philadelphia has, you know. But anyway, yeah, so I mean, you know, that not only are the humor's great, the style of filming and cinematography is great, but the characters are great too. You know, like I said, they all kind of are forced to spend time with each other, but, you know, and there are moments where they get on each other's nerves, but it's, you know, I mean, it's, at the end of the day, there are several moments throughout the episodes and throughout the show where we get to see that these guys actually do love each other. These people do love each other, whether they want to admit it or not, or at the very least tolerate each other, you know, and, it's very sweet to see, you know, there's several moments where they help each other and lift each other up. And it's just very heartwarming, you know? And, I mean, the cast is great, you know, like the acting from everyone is great. I mean, you got Steve Carell is Michael Scott. Rainn Wilson is Dwight, you know, his, you know, kiss ass, but his second in command, you know, he always wants to, you know, he's the assistant to the regional manager, but he always insists on being called assistant regional manager, even though there's a difference. And of course, you know, who can forget John Krasinski and Jenna Fischer, you know, the, not the original, but one of the big will they won't they couples, one of the big couples that everyone wanted to see make it when they were watching the show. You know, like like Kevin said in one episode, PB&J, you know, they go together like PB&J, Pam Beasley and Jim Halpert, you know, peanut butter and jelly. And you know, their romance, watching it throughout the show, is very sweet. Because when we first start the show out, Jim is, you know, Jim and Pam are friends. Jim, you know, works as a salesman, and he works like 5 feet away from Pam, who's the receptionist at the office. But in the, but at the start of the show, for the first two seasons, she's dating, she's engaged to one of the warehouse workers. I blanked on the word warehouse for a second, but she's engaged to Roy, one of the warehouse workers downstairs. And it's a terrible relationship because, you know, according to Pam, they've been engaged for, I think she says like 3 years at this point, or five maybe. And it's like, okay, clearly if this guy wanted to marry you by now, he would have. He's, for whatever reason, he's just stringing you along because I guess maybe he just likes this state of the relationship that you two are in, you know, or he's not ready to fully commit. So he's just stringing you along, you know, in the hopes that you'll be okay with just being engaged, you know, and having these false promises of, oh yeah, well, we'll get married soon. We'll set a date eventually. You know, we just gotta, you know, we got work and all that, and you know how it is. We'll get to it when we get to it, you know. And you know, there's times where they argue and shit and all that. And, they're clearly not a good couple. And, there's times where, you know, Roy's masculinity gets the better of him. You know, he gets pissed at Jim for talking to Pam. And of course, we set up in the first episode that Jim absolutely has a crush on Pam. Like, there's no denying it. There's no trying to hide it. I mean, he hides it, but I mean, there's no, like, for the audience, I mean, there's no hiding the fact that this guy clearly has a crush on his coworker and his best friend in the office. And, you know, but there's times where Roy, you know, I mean, Jim's not really doing anything wrong, but Roy just gets jealous and he's like, hey, what the hell are you doing talking to my fiance? You know, and he just gets all up in his face and, you know, intimidates him and, you know, and yeah, Roy's an asshole. I mean, not the actor, you know, the actor played him well. And I thought Roy made a good antagonist, you know, like he was a good character in a sense that he was a good foil for Jim in a way. I mean, technically Dwight's really Jim's foil, but you know what I mean? He made a good kind of antagonist for Jim. And, but you know, there is progression in their relationship. Like after season two, or at the end of season two, you know, Pam calls it quits with Roy. Even though, you know, earlier he'd set a wedding date, Jim and Pam end up kissing. But of course, season three, you know, he leaves because he felt awkward about the whole kiss and Pam not really, you know, them not really knowing what to do going forward. So he transfers to the Stanford branch. Oh yeah, that's another branch I forgot to mention earlier. There's a Stanford branch too, where we get to see them a little bit, mostly in season three, because they end up getting shut down later that season. But Jim transfers to the Stanford, Connecticut branch. And he, you know, is there for, you know, a quarter of the season. And then when that branch closes, he and like a few of the other of his other coworkers are transferred over to the the Scranton branch. And, you know, unfortunately for Pam, you know, she is like happy to see Jim and she kind of wants to ask him out. But he's dating one of his coworkers from the Stanford branch, Karen, played by Rashida Jones, who I kind of wish she had stayed on in the branch longer, because another character who gets top billing later. Oh yeah, BJ Novak is great as Ryan too. I forgot. I'll talk more about the other characters in a minute. But another character that gets top billing later on in the show, like his name is and image is placed in the opening theme song, is Ed Helms as Andrew, the Nard Dog Bernard. And he's a great character. But he starts out as an asshole, and then he eventually, he slowly works on his anger, goes to anger management classes, and changes for the better. And Ed Helms is hilarious. He's a great, he was a great addition to the show, and I'm glad they kept him on when he showed up in season 3. But I really wish they had kept Rashida Jones, because we do see Karen again in the show. She goes to work for the Utica branch, and we go to the Utica branch every so often. Particularly in season 4, there's an episode where Michael and Dwight basically kidnap Jim and force him to go to the Utica branch to prank Karen, because they break up at the end of season 3. And and Jim's like, we're not doing this. And Michael and Dwight keep insisting that they do this. And it's just this whole dumbass plan where they're like dressed up as warehouse workers. And they're, trying to make Karen look like a fool. Their plan isn't really made clear. I mean, they don't really have a plan. Really. It's just funny to see, just them doing all this shit. Because Michael and Dwight are stupid. But, we see Karen throughout, and it would have been cool to see her more, but, because I thought Rashida Jones did great as Karen, thought she was really good. But thankfully, Greg Daniels and Michael Schur, I guess, realized how, good of a job she did at playing Karen, because they cast her as a main character in Parks and Rec, and she was on the show for pretty much the whole run, except for the last season, when her and Rob Lowe left. In season 6, they don't show up until, they don't show up in the final season, season 7, until the series finale, but she was on the show for, the majority of that show, so, that's good, good enough. But yeah, but on top of everyone I mentioned, and Dwight's rivalry with Jim, going back to the characters, going back to the, main five, I guess, who could forget that? There's so many pranks Jim pulls on Dwight that are classic, and just their stupid petty rivalry is hilarious. And it's always funny just watching, because most of the time there are a few times where Jim loses his cool or gets pissed at Dwight, but for the most part it's Dwight that's the one that's getting pissed off at Jim, because Jim just somehow, he still does great at his job, he still performs well at his job, but somehow he finds the time to set up all these elaborate pranks to make Dwight look like a dumbass. And it's like, how did you have the time to do all this? Like, there's several pranks involving his desk, off the top of my head, and I'm not quite sure which exact episodes some of these were from, but three examples of him screwing around with Dwight's desk. One example was he somehow moved his desk all the way to the men's restroom, somehow got it in there. I don't know how the hell he got it in there. Unless he somehow hired someone to help him move it in there before everyone else showed up in the morning or that morning. But he did that. I think that was in season 2. In season 5, or I want to say it was season 5. It was one of the Christmas episodes. He wrapped Dwight's desk in wrapping paper and told him, he's like, hey, don't open this until Christmas. And he did it with his chair too. He wrapped his chair. It looked like he wrapped his chair and desk in wrapping paper, and then when Dwight went to go sit down on it and put his bag, duffel bag kind of, or briefcase, suitcase thing, on his desk, they fell apart. So he really just made a wrapping paper, cardboard mold of his desk, and, it's like, what'd you do with his desk? And then another example was when Jim, combined all three of the desks that were, his desk, Dwight's desk, and the empty desk that no one really sat at until Pam showed up and, became a, or until Pam joined and became a saleswoman, sales rep, but he took all three of the desks and stacked them on top of each other and forced Dwight to he forced him to have his desk be in the little corner of the triple desk. And he put all his stuff underneath the desk, the space for your legs and everything. And he put his laptop and everything there. And it's just, in the first episode, he puts his stapler in Jell-O. It's just stupid shit like that. It's that somehow Jim finds the time to do all this these elaborate pranks and do well at his job is hilarious and maybe a little unrealistic, but yeah, it doesn't really matter. It's funny, you know. But I guess that goes to show how dedicated of a worker Jim actually is, considering that he does all those pranks and still does a good job, you know, at his job. But yeah, of course, you know, Michael's the boss. You got Dwight and Jim as the sales rep. Oh, and then Phyllis and Stanley, they're the sales reps. Andy is too. But of course, you got Toby is the HR rep who Michael cannot stand. And there's really no justifiable reason why Michael hates Toby. Really, the most we get is the most explanation we get as to why Michael loathes Toby's existence is because he's a part of HR, so he's a part of corporate, so he's not really a part of their family, like because he considers everyone in the office his family, you know, at least until he leaves, and then he acknowledges that the woman he's about to marry is his real family, and they're just his co-workers and friends. But I mean, it is sweet though that Michael considers them his family, but there are several moments in the show where everyone's like, we're not, you know, we're not your family, right? We're just a bunch of people that are, you know, are bound to each other by convenience and you know, the need to have money in our pockets, you know, like it's like, well, we need these jobs, so it's like, yeah, we're all kind of just by not by fate, but by coincidence, you know, we're bound to each other. And but yeah, you know, so, you know, yeah, we got, so that's really why he hates Toby. And then we got Ryan and Kelly, BJ Novak and oh yeah, Paul Lieberstein voices or plays Toby, and then BJ Novak and we got crap, what's her name, Kelly, what is her name, why am I blanking on her name, shit, Mindy Kaling, yeah, sorry, I don't know why I blanked on her name, but yeah, they play Ryan and Kelly, who Ryan's the intern who comes in the first season, and Michael's, you know, trying to take him under his wing, but Ryan's just like, look, I just want to get all this done, you know, and eventually, you know, it's funny, because he's like, I don't want to stay here forever, but he ends up staying there until, like, the last season, when, you know, he ends up leaving in the beginning of the season, of the last season, and then we don't see him again until the series finale, which is the last episode of the last season. But same with Kelly, too. She ends up leaving at the beginning of the last season, and we don't see her either until the series finale. But yeah, we have, you know, they work in the back. Ryan's the intern, and then Kelly is the customer service department. It's just her. And they have an on-again, off-again relationship, which is great. And it's funny because there are moments where it's like, oh, these two were cute for each other. But then you also understand, really, that they're not really a good couple. They're not really good for each other. I mean, they're not the worst for each other. In a way, I guess you could say they deserve each other. But they really aren't good for each other. Just because they're always, like, Ryan's always, like, he never really puts her feelings into consideration. And Kelly's always, you know, arguing with them. I mean, you know, like they have their moments and they're sweet for a while, you know, but you know, you realize very quickly that they're not good for each other, and even they know they're not really good for each other, but they stay with each other because I guess they think that that's the best they're going to do, or they realize that they do love each other, even though they know they shouldn't be together, but they're like, well, we love each other, so we're just going to stay together. But yeah, they're great. They're great by themselves and they're great together, you know. And then of course you got Kevin, Angela, and Oscar who work in accounting. Then you got Creed, who's Quality Assurance, Quality Assurance, which is a reference to one season 3 episode. But it's a quality assurance. But you know, it's funny because like there's in one episode, basically, his department, you know, he was tasked with making sure that the letter stock, that the paper that they sent out that day or that week was ready to be sent out to their clients. But there was someone drew a mouse humping a duck, and that was on the letter stock, like that was printed on, like in the background of the paper. And Creed's like, and there's a moment where Creed's like, what is my job again? I forgot what my title is. It's Quality something. Quality Assurance. There we go. But no, he's Quality Assurance. And it's funny because he's like, of course, the 1 week I decide to not do my job, something like this happens. And he's just this senile old man that really at this point should probably get some seniority. He should probably, you know, move out of the company at this point, because it, you know, it, especially later on in the show, when we get later on in the show, he starts doing more and more like sometimes criminal shit, and but sometimes just senile old man shit, where it's like, yeah, you probably should move out of the, you should probably consider retirement at some point, Creed, because you are starting to make less and less sense. Like it gets so bad to the point where in season 9, in the first episode of the last season, he says, this wasn't a bad day. In the first episode, he says, not a bad day in the life of a dog food company. And I'm like, wow, he's gotten to the point where he doesn't even realize, he doesn't even remember where he works. but yeah, it's great. And then Meredith is, was Meredith customer? Or no, she wasn't quality assurance. What was she? I forgot what Meredith's position was. But anyway, she's great. The drunk alcoholic, very inappropriate but sexually forward middle-aged woman of the of the office. And of course, yeah, I mentioned Phyllis and Stanley, who they're kind of, Stanley's, you know, just the annoyed guy who never, you know, who always annoyed by Michael and just wants to do his job. Phyllis is the kind, sweet, loving mother of the office in a way. Then you have Daryl, who's one of the warehouse workers, who actually, you know, it gets more and more screen time as the show goes on, but he also, in season 6, gets promoted upstairs. He gets an office upstairs, and, he's there for the rest of the show, which is cool. But yeah, he gets promoted from being a warehouse worker to, like, head of the warehouse, in a way, I think, I forgot his job title, but it has something to do with, like, the shipping of the products. Like, you know, he has something to do. He's like the head of the warehouse or something. And I'm pretty sure that's all oh yeah. And Kevin. Yeah. I forgot to mention what their personalities are. Kevin's like the really dumb, heavy set guy. He's got a lot of great moments. Oscar is the very, you know, he's this very, you know, again, one of the straight men of the group, which is ironic considering that he's gay. me saying that he's one of the straight men. But he's one of the, like, not uptight, but he's, like, one of the more serious characters. Same with Angela. She's very Christian, very polite, not polite, but very prim and proper, neat freak character. And then you have Oscar, who's not as uptight as her, but, like, he's one of the more serious characters, like Stanley and, I guess, kind of Phyllis. Yeah, Creed, senile old man. Daryl's just this cool, chill, laid-back black guy, you know, like, you know, and Kelly's the, all the characters are great, and that's, you know, that's a shit ton of characters already, but over the course of the show, we get, you know, that's like 15 right there, but over the course of the show, we get more and more, because like I said, Andy gets brought in season 3, Karen does too, but then she leaves, then when Michael leaves, you know, there's a whole, you know, few episodes where they're trying to figure out who should be the manager, which is hilarious because at first they set up Will Ferrell to be the manager, his character, D'Angelo Vickers, and he's manager for like a day after Michael leaves, like one episode after Michael leaves, he's manager, but then he wants to prove that he can do Michael Jordan's famous dunk, and so he, you know, they go to the warehouse, he does the dunk, but then and he's hanging on to the goal, and then the basketball goal falls on him. He gets a concussion. You know, he gets brain damage, and they're like, okay, well, we got to find another manager. And then Creed's manager for an episode, and then they realize how stupid that is because he's, again, a senile old man. And then Dwight's manager, but then he fires a gun and shoots Andy in the shoulder, so they got to find someone else. And then eventually they get Robert California, but played by James Spader, who I wish he had stayed on in season 9, honestly, because I know there's a lot of people that don't really like his character, but I really loved his character just because of how he was just a rich, not pompous, but he was just like a rich, he was just a rich guy with way too much money and way too much free time on his hands who was so serious in everything he said, whether it made sense or not. He was always so serious with everything he said. And so much of an enigma, because you never really knew, you know, who is this guy? You know, where did he come from? And we learned some about him in season 8 when he shows up, but it's like, yeah, who is this guy? So, and a lot of people felt like he didn't match the tone and the vibe of the show, but I actually kind of thought he gelled pretty well with the rest of the cast, just because he, again, like with the rest of the cast, he was such an oddball, you know? But yeah, so he is promoted out of the group of a potential, you know, new managers, you know, the new hirees, you know, like, oh, who's going to be it? He's it. But then he goes down to Florida to talk with the CEO of the company, who at the time was the CEO of the company. He becomes CEO of Dunder Mifflin, and then he hires Andy as the manager. So Andy's manager for like the next 2 seasons, or the last 2 seasons, and it's great. But then, oh, yeah, and of course we get Aaron, who's like in my top 5, like up there with Michael Dwight, Andy, and I guess Pam. I'm not quite sure which order that'd be, but Aaron's like in my top 5 favorite characters. And she shows up like halfway through, maybe like the last third of season 5. But she's essentially the, she is the receptionist. She takes over for Pam when Pam moves to the sales department. And it's funny because her name is Kelly, but because they already have a Kelly that works there, they just decide to call her by her middle name, which is Aaron. So it's just funny. It's like, yeah, we'll just call you Aaron because, you know, instead of calling you Kelly too, or, you know, the other Kelly, we'll just, this is simpler, you know. And so they do that, and she's great. And she has this sweet romance with Andy's character. And I was a little disappointed that they didn't get together in the end. But, you know, they kind of, who she ended up with, I was okay with. And Michael's eventual, his girlfriend and eventual fiance and wife, Holly, temporarily replaces Toby as the HR rep while he's off on an important murder case, the Scranton Strangler case. And she's great. And yeah, there's a bunch, there's probably like 5-10 more characters I didn't mention that are all great. David Wallace, Jan, you know, the list goes on, but they're great too. And you know, really the show, there's so many characters that it's like, when Michael left, it wasn't too bad because, I mean, it was like, it sucked, but it's like, everyone had a good part to play in the show that it's like, well, we may have lost the main character, but we all have a bunch, we have 4 more main characters left, and this whole slew of side characters that, you know, comprise the show. So it's like, it wasn't, you know, wasn't too big of a loss, you know, because, you know, I mean, at the time, Steve Carell's movie career was kicking off. And I mean, you know, it started, you know, he got the role of Michael when he was on the 50. I think it was when he was on the when the 40-Year-Old Virgin premiered, or it was around that time. And then he got the role of Michael in The Office. But yeah, you know, it's great. And Michael's a great guy, too. Like, obviously, a lot of people, and it's funny because a lot of people say, oh, the show, and even people who love the show say, you know, they basically say, oh, yeah, the show's great, but you couldn't make the show today. It would get canceled immediately. And, I mean, in a way, I get where they're coming from, but, you know, a lot of people are like, you know, they say a huge part of that has to do with all the vile shit that comes out of Michael's mouth. I mean, good God, if I had a boss like that, you know, he would definitely be in HR. He would be fired. And obviously, yeah, Michael probably, you know, because he is an idiot. I mean, he's a great salesman, and he's a great talker. He can charm the pants off of anyone. So maybe that's, you know, that's, we do see that's why he has his manager's position. But everything that he ends up saying in the show, it's like, yeah, he probably would have gotten reprimanded or maybe fired in the real world. But we do see in the show examples of, you know, he's a great talker, he's a great charmer, he listens to people, and he was a great salesman before he got promoted. So, you know, there are reasons why he's the manager over someone like Dwight, who probably is more capable of running a well-tight oiled ship than Michael is. But, you know, he handles it. He does it together. I mean, he holds it together. But, you know, a lot of people, they're like, Michael says a bunch of awful shit. And really, it's not anything to really get that offended about, if that makes sense. Like, obviously, not saying anyone shouldn't get offended if they want to, but everything that he says, people are like, oh, he makes gay jokes about Oscar, that's hurtful, or he makes black jokes about Stanley and Daryl, or he makes jokes about Pam, and obviously, he makes beauty jokes about Pam, and, you know, it's like, well, most of what he's saying are jokes, and they're not coming from a place of hate, they're coming from a place of ignorance. Because as we establish in the show, Michael is kind of an ignorant character. But he's also a very positive and well-meaning character. So everything that he says isn't coming from a place of, you know, he's being genuine. Like, anytime he makes these jokes, or he thinks that they're actually funny and not really that hurtful. So, you know, Michael's not sexist. He's not racist. He's not homophobic. He's not a mean dude. He's a well-meaning, kind dude. And, you know, they often, you know, and most of the characters know this. I mean, there are some times where he may go a little bit overboard and they correct him on it. But, you know, every now and then the characters will play up to his stupidity in a way, like his unawareness of what he's saying. Like, every time he tries to talk street with Daryl, because Daryl's black, every time he talks, he tries to, because, you know, he's friends with Daryl. Anytime he tries to, and Stanley too, anytime he, like, mentions anything about them being black, they usually just, like, screw around with him. Like, Daryl, like, when he's going for the position at New York to be, like, the head of corporate, you know, like, he's going for that position, Daryl... that's not what happened. Him, Daryl, and Toby drove up to New York to talk about getting an increase on Michael and Daryl's payment. So yeah, when he goes there, Michael's like, you got any tips for me? And Daryl's like, you know, because again, Michael's an idiot, you know, trying to talk street with him. So Daryl comes up with this catchphrase that is obviously nothing that anyone says. But he says, remember the cool black guy phrase I taught you. And then Michael repeats it back to him. He's like, pippity poppity, give me the zoppity. And it's like, yeah, that's nothing anyone says. Black, white, Asian, you know, it's just some stupid shit that Daryl came up with just to screw around with Michael, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, it's all in good fun. Like, it's like, obviously, again, if Michael says something that's too out of pocket, the characters, you know, we see the characters call him out for his behavior or his... actions or words. And often he does see the error of his ways if it's something too overtly out there, you know, too graphic, you know, but you know, but most of the time they are just harmless jokes and the characters do see them as harmless jokes and crack jokes back at them, you know? So I feel like you could still make it today, especially because people still love the show. So obviously, you know, but, I mean, the show was great, though. I mean, a lot of great episodes. I honestly don't know. There's so many episodes you could introduce someone to the show with. It's hard to really pick which episode would be the best. Which episode would give the best first impression to someone you're trying to introduce the show to. Obviously, the pilot is a good place to start, because while it might not be the funniest episode, there are a lot of good jokes in it. It is pretty funny. And obviously it does set up all the characters and the concept of the show in that it's a show about a documentary crew filming these employees at a paper company. So, you know, obviously the pilot is a good starting point or a good first episode to show someone. But then, you know, and season one is obviously the shortest season and it might not be the best season. But you know, there are some good episodes in there. Like the second episode, Diversity Day is hilarious. Episode 5, Basketball, was great. But then season 2, you've got The Dundies, which was the season 2 premiere. You've got, the season 3 premiere, Gay Witch Hunt, when Michael outs Oscar as being gay to The Office. That's a great episode. And again, you know, going back to what Michael, you know, like, he's not doing this out of hate. Like, he genuinely didn't know that Oscar wasn't ready to come out, you know, and it's like, okay, I was just trying to be not, you know, but he learns that, okay, yeah, it probably wasn't good for me to do that, you know. That was a hilarious episode. Then you got a Benihana Christmas. Really, all the Christmas episodes are great. But the hour-long episode from season 3, a Benihana Christmas, was great. Stress Relief, which actually, which was an hour-long episode too, but interestingly enough, that episode, fun fact, was aired right after the Super Bowl. Because, you know, me talking about getting people into the show, a lot, NBC wanted to, you know, the show was popular, but, you know, it got even more popular after this episode aired, because they aired it after the Super Bowl. And what's funny about, you know, them airing it right after the Super Bowl was that they knew people were going to be tired, they knew people were going to switch the channels to something else, or just turn the TV off and go to bed. So the reason why that opening with Dwight setting off the fire alarms is as batshit insane as the reason why that intro, that cold open with Dwight setting off the fire alarms, is as batshit insane as it is because they wanted something that would grab the audience's attention. They're like, yeah, we know people are gonna be tired after the Super Bowl, we're gonna make them stay, you know, and this episode's just going to be as chaotic as it can get. And I think that actually was the first episode I watched, because my stepbrother was watching it on Netflix, and actually, when I say watching it, he was re-watching the show, but that was one episode that he watched, or was watching, and I watched it with him, and I was like, oh yeah, this show is hilarious. And then eventually I'd started, you know, not too long after that, I started from the beginning and made my way to the end. But yeah, that, you know, that's why that opening is so crazy. And that's like one of the best scenes in the show, because Dwight being his, again, he's kind of a dumbass too, maybe not quite like Michael, but I mean, Dwight's smart, but you know, sometimes he kind of lacks common sense and, you know, ignorant of like other people's feelings in a way, you know, sometimes not caring, it kind of makes him sound like an asshole. He's not really an asshole. I mean, he can be, but you know, sometimes he's just stuck in his ways. And but he basically, he's like, look, this is going to really get people to be aware of fire safety. So he just lights a, and for some reason the crew, I guess they didn't want to get involved, but the camera crew filming them don't get involved, even though they're in the building watching him set fire to the building. They're like, hey, maybe we should stop him, because not only are they all going to die, but everyone else that works in this building too, Vance Refrigeration and the other three companies, and us included, we're all gonna die. But they don't step in, they don't say anything, they just watch them run around like rats in a cage. But he sets a fire in this little trash can, and then tries to let everyone know where the exits are. He's trying to guide everyone to safety, but everyone's panicking and not really giving a shit at all what Dwight has to say. And you know, like, Angela, Oscar climbs up into the, it's total chaos. Oscar climbs up into the ceiling. Michael throws the projector out of the window and starts screaming for help. Stanley ends up having a heart attack. Like, it's just balls to the wall insane. And yeah, it's, that's a great episode. But enough about that episode. I mean, yeah, there's so many more I can mention. One of the cringiest episodes, but also a really funny episode. Scott's Tots is in season 6. What's another? Michael's last episode, which is in season 7. Goodbye, Michael. That's great. Threat Level Midnight, where we finally get to see Michael's movie that he's been working on for like a decade and a half at this point. And then the last two seasons have some great episodes too. And of course, the final episode is great. The finale, which is appropriately titled Finale, does a great job. I mean, the whole last season did a great job at like ending off everyone's characters at a good point in their lives, or like, the, you know, it did a good job wrapping up everyone's stories. And the show in the finale, you know, was a great addition to that moment. You know, they really did end everyone's stories on a good note. And, you know, it was, I actually teared up the first time I watched the, I don't think I quite cried, but I was tearing, there were a few moments where I teared up, like when Erin first meets her parents, because, you know, the they're having the documentary, or the documentary aired, and then the finale at the beginning of the episode does a time skip, because in the episode right before, we see all of them watching the documentary, and then the final episode, the finale picks up a year later, and they're having a convention for the documentary, like they're having a, you know, in this convention hall, and at first no one shows up, but then eventually they start showing up, and someone stands up to ask Erin a question, and then they reveal to her that we're your birth parents, we're your mother and father, and when she realizes what's going on, and she's like, Dad, Mom, I was like, oh my God, dude. Like, I was just, like, I was thinking about it, thinking about it is, like, getting me to tear up, just because it was, just such a sweet, heartwarming moment, and, you know, we set that up early on, or, well, not early on, it's like, because Erin shows up halfway through the show, but when her character shows up, you know, we set up early on with her character that she is a foster child, you know, like, she never knew her birth parents, so it's like, I wasn't even thinking about that when that happened, that, oh yeah, they were going to wrap up Erin's story, but they wrap up her story with her parents. Nellie ends up getting a child because Ryan and Kelly just leave their baby there. Or, well, Kelly leaves her baby there. Or no, not Kelly. Ryan leaves his baby there to run away with Kelly, which again is a perfect ending for them because they're on again, off again, batshit insane relationship, you know. it's crazy. So obviously them running off, leaving everyone else in the dust, is perfect for their ending. But Nellie ends up adopting his baby, which is something they set up with her character. We see Michael again. We don't see Holly, which was a nitpick I had. I kind of would have liked to have seen her and their kids. But we do get a confirmation that Michael has a couple kids. He's happily married with Holly. Dwight ends up getting married with Angela. And then they all have a... Oh, Jim and Pam move to Jim's... To Austin. I think it was Austin? Or Philly. Was it Philadelphia? Let me look it up real quick. I believe it was Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. Yeah, it was Philly. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know why I said Austin. Oh, but yeah, Jim was working at this company, Athlete, that one of his college friends set up, and Daryl had been working there for a year, but he didn't want his marriage to Pam to get ruined, so he decided to stay at the office. But then Pam reveals that she sold the house, and she's totally cool with the two of them moving to Athlete to hang out with Daryl and work there. And then Dwight, obviously we see him as manager, which we actually got to see him as manager for that episode and the episode right before, you know. And then the episode before that is when he gets hired. So we get a couple episodes with him as manager, but we get to see how his style has kind of changed the office in in the last year that he's been there. And then, you know, his marriage with Angela, we get to see them get married. And they, you know, the last scene is just them reminiscing on the fun times they had in the office and, you know, hanging out upstairs in the office while everyone else is having the party downstairs, because they're realizing, oh yeah, a lot of us are going on different paths in our lives. And the ones who aren't, you know, we're at the office, but a lot of us, this will be the last time we see, that this is the last time all of us will be here together in this office, you know. We all won't see each other again, probably for a good while. And, you know, it's like, it really does show a sense of finality to the show that, you know, it's like, not only is the show ending, but the characters' lives, some of the characters' lives at this company are ending too. And the documentary is over, you know. Which actually, now that I think about it, why was the camera crew still there? I guess they were getting some behind the scenes features for the DVD, like a where are they now, which is what the convention was about. It's like, you know, anyone who wanted to meet the cast of the documentary, you know, the Dunder Mifflin crew. It's like, where are they now? Ask them questions. Maybe that's why the camera crew was there a year later, Because I'm like, you'd think that them watching the documentary would be the last episode. But I guess they showed up, you know, they decided to come back a year later to get some bonus features for, like, the DVD of the documentary or something. But yeah, so, anyway, yeah, so episode's a little over an hour now. So, and I gotta record the my review of 10 Things I Hate About You. So, I guess that's pretty much all I gotta say. You know, acting's great. A lot of great episodes. The filming of the show, the cinematography, the camera work's great. And overall, it's just a great feel-good show that you don't have to watch in order. I mean, you know, you can watch some episodes out of order, but there are a lot of episodes that could, you know, you could watch out of order and not miss, you know what I mean? Or, I mean, you not really miss, like, the big story of what's going on. And it's just great. I mean, if you haven't watched it, I highly suggest watching it. It's a great show. You'll have a great time with it. And you got 200 episodes, or 201 episodes to watch, so you got a lot of content to watch. But yeah, so, happy 10-year anniversary to, well, really, it's the, 18th anniversary of The Office, but it's the 10-year anniversary of when it finished. So, yeah, happy 18th anniversary to The Office. It's like a month or two later. But, and happy 10-year anniversary to The Office ending. And, you know, I'm glad the show is still as popular as it is because it deserves it. It's, you know, one of my favorite shows. Probably one of the best shows of all time. I know it sounds dramatic. But, it's really that good. So, watch it if you haven't yet. You know, you won't regret it. So, I guess I'll see you guys in a few minutes, for the next episode. So with that being said, be back in like, I guess, 5 minutes. And yeah, that just about does it for the first episode. See you for the second episode, right now.